This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah. Hayya 'alas-salah. Hayya 'alas-salah. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونستنصره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا، لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. وبعد، يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل: يسألونك عن الأنفال قل الأنفال لله والرسول، فاتقوا الله وأصلحوا ذات بينكم، وأطيعوا الله ورسوله إن كنتم مؤمنين. As the barbarous attacks resume again after the short ceasefire that we experienced over the last week, I think we're being put to the test here when it comes to longevity. Something I talked about over the last number of weeks. In order for advocacy to have any value to it, it has to be something that is being prepared for the long haul. It's the long-term advocacy and work that actually brings fruition. And the fact that we're going back again after 15,000 people were killed to the same format of random bombing of civilian populated areas, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is yet again putting us to the test of whether we actually understood and learned the lesson that we should have learned from years before this ever occurred. Because the cycle has been quite simple, or has been quite predictable for us. We take interest in things during the acute phase, and maybe a week or two tops after the acute phase, and then everything plateaus back to the baseline that it was at before. The baseline doesn't get any better. It's not higher in any form. It goes exactly to the way it was before. Sometimes I argue it goes even lower some in certain situations. And I think the fact that we're going back again, meaning it's not being put to sleep, it's not being put to bed, they haven't found a way to stop the death toll, I think it's just reminding us that this issue is not, and the issue, in my opinion, even goes beyond Palestine at this point. It goes beyond the Holy Land, and it goes beyond Gaza, and it goes beyond Masjid al-Aqsa. It goes beyond all of it. And it goes beyond the Palestinian people, too. Because if you notice, it's not just the Palestinian people who are actually protesting all across the globe. There's not enough people. The population of Palestinian people is not enough for all of these numbers to actually produce themselves all across the globe on a weekly basis. This is the will of a people. This is a will of a nation that is being ignored, that is being neglected, that is being told to the face of those who have the belief that you don't matter. And what you have to say about this doesn't matter either. You're just background noise that we will continue to set aside because you actually have nothing else you can offer. Because you don't have the proper routes and channels of advocacy that are required to make the change that is going to be needed. Which is why I think this is very important for us to take time and contemplate and reflect upon. What exactly is it that's going to change for us as a community? I can't control how the Muslim Ummah functions on a larger scale. Neither can you. We don't have the ability to do that. We can't dictate how leaders in the Muslim world are going to respond to certain things. We don't have the ability to dictate how scholars are going to talk about stuff or how business owners are going to. We don't have the ability to do that. But what we do have the ability to change is how our conduct is going to be over the next year or two or three or 10 or 50 till the day that we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how our communities are going to function. I am a firm believer in the fact that if you can't clean up your backyard, then please, please, you know, spare the rest of us all of your theories of how to fix the world. Please, just spare us what you have to say about how the world is going to be fixed. Because if you can't clean up your own backyard, if you can't take care of things locally for yourself, if you don't have your house in order, then please, just don't do it. Don't come and tell me how the world is going to be fixed through the amazing theories that you have in your brain if you cannot implement them locally yourself. It makes no sense. It really doesn't. Like, I don't understand the logic behind it. I try to, wallahi. I try to. You're ordered Islamically to always try to understand where people are coming from when they're talking about things. So you can build the bridges. I fail to understand how people who are failing locally on a very small scale, on a puny scale. Well, it's a puny scale. What, 35,000 Muslims in a city that is not that big to begin with? We fail locally, yet we want to talk about how the change needs to happen on an international scale. We want to go and tell people how to run their countries and run their communities and change world policy. I don't believe that's appropriate. You can disagree with me. I have no problem with that. But I don't think that's correct. And I think that you're given a chance to prove the utility of your thoughts and your practices and your ideas within your local context. If you can't get your ideas to work in a local context, that means they probably aren't going to be extrapolated on an international context to work. If the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and the Sahaba with him failed to build a community that had the proper structure to it, then no one would have accepted Islam. If they failed, if they couldn't run their own society appropriately, if the Medina was not a good example, there would have been no Islam. The reason Islam spread is because he was able, alayhi salatu wasalam, in a small area to prove that his thoughts, that his ideology, that what he brought to the world, his message, worked. You could implement it and it would work. And you could have a heterogeneous, genius society that had people from all over, and you can still have them live together. People would have rights. There would be peace. There would be clarity. There would be ethics. There would be morals. There would be leadership. There would be purposefulness. You'd be able to solve problems, defend yourself, hold on to your moral compass. He was able to prove that, alayhi salatu wasalam. People came to Medina. They wanted to see. They wanted to see what was happening because it sounded so bizarre. It sounded so weird to them. They had not witnessed anything like that before. The only system that they had seen was the tribal system. The tribal system, you had a Sheikh al-Gabila. You had the eldest of the tribe. And everyone who lived in the area was from the tribe related to this person. And this person was the undisputed leader. Whatever he said, right or wrong, for better or for worse, was going to be the case, and everyone had to listen. That did not work, and it never will. By the way, that doesn't work. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam brought forward a very different model. He brought it forward a different financial model. He brought forward a different political model, a different social model, a different spiritual interpersonal model. And it worked. They came and they saw. They saw a few people, a small number of people, able to defend themselves. They had the commitment and the clarity. They had the love and the closeness. They were able to live in each other's homes, even though they were not from the same background. They weren't family. But something else brought them together. They were able to put their wealth. They were able to put their wealth even when they needed it for the purpose or for the benefit of the group. That is something that people didn't think was possible. Because human greed and human selfishness is too powerful. These are powerful, powerful driving motives. They're extremely, extremely powerful. Human greed, ya Latif. Human greed and human... These diseases of the heart are what kind of manifest in the way that we see the world function today. But to actually find a society where these are being put to sleep or being put aside, and a certain degree of selflessness, of love, of dedication, of a philanthropy actually occurring within a society of sacrifice, is something that people would come to Medina just to a witness. They didn't necessarily come to accept Islam. They wanted to see. Is it true? Is it true that the Qurayshi is living in the house of the Khazraji? Show me. I want to see. Show it to me. I want to see it. I don't believe it. It's impossible. I want to see it. So they would come and they would watch. All right. That's really weird. It took them time to understand. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was able to prove that he had a system that worked. His backyard was clean. His house was in order. And because it was in order, all it took was a few people to spread this deen within 30 years to all the continents of the old world, and to overcome all of the great empires that surrounded them. At the time, it was ludicrous to even talk about it. To even talk about it was insane. Kisra? What are you talking about, Siwarai Kisra? Or Kunuz Kisra? The Prophet ﷺ would use this term. A day will come where you will have the treasures of Kisra in front of you, and people would laugh. They would laugh under their breath because it's impossible. What are you talking about, us being able to own that? But he knew, alayhi salatu wasalam, how the hierarchy worked. He knew how the system was built. You started with yourself. You started locally. And then you made your way up. And anything is possible if you do that. And that's why the story of how Islam actually spread is still something that the world does not fully comprehend. It's not understandable. If you looked at the map of the world and you put a time lapse where every second was 100 years and you started 6,000 years ago, you would see the slow movement of different dynasties kind of taking over stuff. The way Islam worked was like a splash. It's like a splash. Everything was in one, then there's a spot in Medina, because the time lapse is 100 years, it goes from a spot to a splash in all three continents. It's like an explosion. Why? Because he made sure his house was in order. Wallahi, this is not the khutbah I was going to give today. This is not what I was standing up here to talk about. I recited Surah Al-Anfal at the beginning. I had something else to tell you. But let's make this clear at the beginning before I go into this new series. If we don't have our house in order, then we should not be preaching to others what they need to change. If we cannot work together on a small scale and get things functional for our youth, for our elderly, for converts, for people who are struggling with mental health or financial health or social health, or for people who are immigrants just coming in, or for whatever disadvantaged groups we have within our community, if we can't take care of them, if we can't figure out a way to make sure that our Muslim ummah, our Muslim youth, our Muslim population is being nurtured and educated and mentored and taught and taken care of, then I fail to see how we are truly committed to this cause. I don't believe the person is honest when they say, no, I stand for Palestine. You do? Show me what you're doing locally. Nothing? I don't want to say it. Nothing? Well, no. No, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Because the question becomes, oh, what you have is so beautiful. Yes, we have the Quran is beautiful. It is, yeah. We have Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is he? He's amazing. He's amazing. You've never heard of anyone like him, really. Yes, what he taught was just mind blowing. Really, it was. Yeah. Well, why isn't it working for you? Why isn't it working for you? Why are you bringing it for it to work for me if it doesn't work for you? Show me. If it's that beautiful, show me how it works for you. Show me your community. Show me your society. Show me your. Show me. Show me evidence that this is so beautiful and so perfect. And so complete. If it is, may there be evidence of it. May there be evidence of it. Or it's just talk. Anyone can claim something is amazing. Now, you're here, which means you still believe it is. There are a lot of people who aren't here who don't anymore. They've lost that connection. They don't feel that anymore, unfortunately. They don't feel that book and the one who conveyed it to us, alayhi salatu wasalam, and is actually of that degree of perfection and beauty, profoundness and depth. You don't believe, don't come. You come here because you still do. But I'm telling you, if that book and those teachings cannot help you get your own house in order and aren't going to work locally, then I don't believe we're going to see any change for another couple of hundred years. This is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً يَتِيهُنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Go, get lost for 40 years. So he told Banu Israel initially. That's what he told them initially. Enter. No. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا. Go, take your Lord and go fix the problem. We'll come later. Okay, there's a mentality problem here. You seem to have misunderstood this whole story. Go get lost for 40 years. In 40 years, a new generation comes. We'll see. Maybe the next generation has a little bit more mojo to them. Maybe they have a better comprehension of it. Which is exactly what happened. And for us, I don't think that's the case. I really don't. I believe that we have the capability. We don't need 40 years. We don't need next generation. With the people who are here right now, it's just an issue of a decision. It's a decision. It's a conscious choice that needs to be made. I am telling you this because I've seen it happen a lot, and it happens all the time. You have to make a conscious decision in your heart, in your mind, of what your life is going to be about. When you pass away, we will all die one day. 100 years from now, no one in this room will still be on the correct side of the earth. We'll all be on the other side of it. Our lives will end eventually. It's not that far down, if you think about it. It's not that far away. What was your life about? The end summary, the conclusion, the basic goal of it. What was it? What was it that, what purpose did your life serve? What were you trying to achieve with your existence? With your existence, what were you trying to achieve? That question has to be brought back to the surface, has to be talked about again with clarity, especially if you're young. Especially, it doesn't make a difference what age you are, by the way. The Prophet alayhi salam, this is the question he asked when he proposed Islam to people. He was asking them that question. What do you want to live for? What is your life going to be about? That's what La ilaha illallah did. That's what it meant to them. So they changed. People in their 60s and their 70s, they changed. And they were able to make a difference with their lives. But that has to happen. Islam cannot be a secondary goal, a secondary gain. It can't be some secondary endpoint of your project. It has to be the main focus. It has to be. And you start with yourself. And you start locally. And then spread your wings, yahi, and fly to whatever corner of the earth you want to fly and change things. Or else it's just, wallahi, it's all kalam. It's all kalam. It's just talk. It's just talk. I am tired of it. I'm tired of hearing myself speak, and I'm tired of hearing people. It's just talk. Just get up here, we talk. Then we talk more. And then things just continue to be exactly the same. We've been complaining about the same problems, wallahi, since I was 6 years old. Since I was six, sitting in the masjid, listening to shuyukh, listening to people complain about the exact same problems. Can we not be a bit more innovative? Come up with a new problem, just for sake of excitement, just to have something new to deal with. It's the same problems, just manifesting themselves in different forms. And I think that's something that we should all take seriously and think about. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ يَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله وحده وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، قد كنت نويت في هذه الخطبة أن أتحدث عن مسألة معينة، لكن لا أدري، لما وقفت خطر على بالي مسائل أخرى فتحدثت فيها فتغيرت الخطبة بأكملها. وأريد أن أخذ ألبابكم واهتمامكم إلى مسألة القيام بالنفس. لا أتحدث هنا عن المسألة العقائدية والاعتقادية في متون العقيدة وعلوم الكلام، وإنما أتحدث هنا عن إصلاح الذات. الإنسان الذي لا يستطيع أن يصلح نفسه من خلال كتاب الله وسنة نبيه صلى الله عليه وسلم، والله يصعب على الناس أن يستمعوا إليه إذا ما نصحهم في شؤون حيواتهم هم. يصعب على الناس أن يستمعوا إليك وأنت تنظر عليهم، تشرح لهم كيف يجب أن يعيش الإنسان حياته، وكيف عليه أن يقفو آثار الصالحين، وكيف عليه أن ينظم مجتمعه، وهو بنفسه لا يستطيع تنظيم وقته ولا حياته ولا حياة أولاده ولا مجتمعه الذي يسكن فيه. إذا كان يا أخي البيت الذي تسكن فيه بيت غير نظيف، لا ينبغي لك أن تقف أمام الناس تحدثهم عن كيفية ترتيب وتنظيف المجتمع بأكمله. هذا يا أخواني أتأمرون الناس بالبر وتنسون أنفسكم وأنتم تتلون الكتاب، أفلا تعقلون؟ نحن نعلم هذا قديما في الإسلام، نعلم هذا قديما. وهنا ليست الغاية في هذه الخطبة وهذا الكلام أن أنهاكم عن الدعوة إلى الله إذا لم تكن كاملة، فليس منا إنسان كامل، وكل مقصر في حياتي، وكلنا أصحاب ذنوب، نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يغفر لنا وأن يرحمنا. لكن هنا أتحدث عن قيام الإسلام بمهمته في مجتمعاتنا وفي حياتنا. أتحدث هنا عن قيمة الإسلام ككل. الإسلام يا أخواني ليس فقط مجرد شعائر، هو ليس منظومة شعائر وعبادات يقوم بها الإنسان وإذا قام بها تصطلح الأمور وحدها، لا، الإسلام أسلوب حياة، الإسلام قضية يعيش من أجلها الإنسان ويموت من أجلها الإنسان إذا اضطر إلى ذلك. وإذا لم نأخذ الإسلام، إذا لم نأخذ الإسلام من فكرة الشعائر والعبادات المجردة إلى الفكرة المتكاملة التي أتى بها النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم ففعلها في حياته وحياة من تبعه من أصحابه، سنبقى على حالنا في الفشل، سنبقى على حالنا في الفشل، وسنبقى نشتكي من نفس المشكلات في كل المجتمعات عند كل الأعمار بكل الأعراق وكل الأجناس وكل اللغات وكل البلدان. اذهب حيث شئت وادخل أي مسجد واجلس مع أصحاب المساجد اذهب وامشي بين الناس، الكل يشتكي من نفس منظومة المشكلات هي نفسها. الإسلام يحلها ولا لا يحلها؟ إن قلت نعم فلماذا لا نرى الحلول فيما بين أنفسنا؟ وإن قلت لا فماذا تفعل هنا؟ ماذا تفعل في المسجد إذا كان الجواب لا؟ إذا كان الجواب نعم فالواجب أن نثبت ذلك. نحن الآن أمام معضلة مختلفة في نوعيتها، أن نثبت أن الإسلام فعال في حياتنا، وهو فعال، هو كذلك. إذا كان لديك شكوك وهو كذلك، هو حتى يتخطى أعظم تخيلاتك وأحلامك وآمالك. الإسلام يفعل بالروح ويفعل بالنفس ويفعل بالمجتمع وبالعائلة ما لا تستطيع تخيله إذا جردت نفسك له، إذا أخلصت دينك لله سبحانه وتعالى. هذا كلام والله ثق به، هذا كلام موثوق، هذا ليس مجرد شعارات. لكن الإشكال في من يجرد نفسه وفي من يخلص نفسه لله سبحانه وتعالى. We have to move Islam from the realm of rituals, of exclusively being rituals and acts of worship, to a cause. Islam, before everything, is a cause. You live for it. And if needed, you die for it too. This is, for many people around the globe, something that is concerning, because most of those who are in control want a population that is not fully aware or educated, not fully committed to a group of morals or ethics. They want them educated just enough to, you know, write the code, to run the machines, and to keep things moving. Aware enough just to complain amongst each other about how they could, but not enough to actually point out corruption when they see it. not enough to stand for a justice or righteousness when they observe atrocities and oppression and racism and hatred and double standards. They don't want that because that can be dangerous. So they want them to be people who can be tempted, who can be put in a cycle of consumerism and just so they don't have a lot of time. Because when you don't have a lot of time, see, they do it better in the Middle East, in my opinion, because they keep you running after your hubs all your life. They dandle the hubs, and you run after it all of your life. You don't have time to talk about climate change or atrocities occurring across the world or oppression, or you don't have time because you're hungry and the hubs is beyond your reach, so you have to run. They do it better there. I'm just letting know the dictators of this part of the world that probably going back to what they're doing over there is better for you if this is what you continue want. But a population that is committed to righteousness, to justice, to integrity, to fairness, and that is willing to live for that and die for that and take that as the reason of why they're alive rather than just a sideline project, it's a very difficult population to contain. It's a difficult group of people to maintain and to distract and to tempt and to control. They don't like that piece. They're scared of it, which is why they use all these words, which is why they use all of these words when they describe Muslims or mistakes of Muslims or in general, the Muslim world. The reason these terms are used is because we're kind of the last group that still see their principles and their values and who they are to be more important than anything else, to be more important than their status and their jobs and their reputation and their comfort and their leisure. They're still willing to put that ahead of everything, and that's not in their best interest. I'm sorry. You're hearing exactly what I believe. Now, I don't always say this stuff because I think it, but this is what I believe the world is. And this is, I believe, the problem actually lies. If we truly as Muslims believe in justice and righteousness, then we continue to advocate regardless. Regardless of whether they are bombing or they're not, regardless of whether it doesn't make a difference. We continue to speak the truth and we continue to work towards it as an ummah. And we start by transforming our own backyard, cleaning up that backyard of ours. Getting our house in order and starting to work from there. You learn a lot when you do that, and you achieve a lot when you get that done. That's my firm belief. The series I want to share with you over the next couple of weeks is the laws of victory or the laws of success. It's Surah Al-Anfal. That's what it does. The first 10 surahs of the Quran from Al-Fatiha to At-Tawbah, they tell a story. They tell the surahs themselves in their essence, meaning in their themes, they tell a beautiful story. A continuation of how Muslims actually evolve and become. Towards the end of it, Surah Al-Anfal is a short one. It's only 10 pages amongst surahs that are all over a juz', all over 20. So it's very, it's kind of, you're like, why is it this here? Because it just gives laws, a couple of laws, 20 to 23 laws, depending on how you want to categorize them. If you want to be successful as a nation, here are a couple of things to avoid, a couple of things to do. I'm going to try and share them with you, not in a sequential manner of the surah, but share with you the ones that I think are really important over the next couple of weeks. Things for us to reflect. If we want to be successful, here are a few things to avoid. Here are a few things that we have to hold on to. And maybe, as a community, we can actually do something. We can make an example for ourselves and for others. And then we'll become much more effective, much more efficient. Then we can reach out and help people. When you're weak, you can't help those who are being mistreated. When you're strong, you can. And that strength must come from within, not just from within individuals, but from within communities as well. I hope that was beneficial to you. At the end, we do have the MRC social worker amongst us here today. And the reason that we have this on a weekly basis is that there are people who are struggling at home with, if there's any form of domestic violence, domestic abuse, if there are mental health problems, if there are any family issues. We have the sister here to help with that and someone that you can refer to help kind of move that along, inshallah ta'ala. Brother Hamu will make some announcements regarding some of the protests and activities that are occurring this weekend. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الأربعة الخلفاء السادة الحنفاء أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وارض اللهم عن أزواجه أمهات المؤمنين، وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين، وعن صحابته الغر الميامين، وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات. اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين، ونفس كروب المكروبين، وارفع الغم عن المغمومين، وارفع الظلم عن المظلومين، واحقن دماءنا ودماء المسلمين، واحقن دماء إخواننا في فلسطين. اللهم احقن دماءهم، اللهم تول أمورهم، اللهم اجبر كسرهم، اللهم استر عورتهم، اللهم آمن روعتهم، اللهم إنهم مظلومون فانتصر لهم يا رب العالمين. اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين، أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين. اللهم ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا، وتب علينا اللهم من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا، وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظ